The grace of the Lord be with you this day. You're listening to a message delivered at Christ Community Church in Myerstown, Pennsylvania. Our mission is to love God, serve people, and inspire hope. For more information about our ministries, go to christcom.church. That's christcom with two M's, .church. Our lead pastor is Dr. Timothy Valentino, founder of This New Life, which is the online home of Tim and Sonia Valentino. For uplifting resources, theological reflections, and even a few laughs, go to timandsonia.net. That's Tim and Sonia with a Y, .net. Thanks for listening, and be sure to stop back again. Now, grab a Bible, and let's get to the Word.
As you're sitting, I invite you to turn back in our Bibles to Exodus 20. The Gospel of Exodus in chapter 20, as we continue our series, Carved in Stone, Some of God's Ways for All of God's People, a sermon series on the Ten Commandments. We come this morning to the fifth of the Ten Commandments, and it's only one verse, but it has an impact far beyond its own length. So follow along as I read now, Exodus 20 and verse 12. Honor your father and mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A Chinese man once traveled across the United States of America, and he was here for about 6 years. He wanted to see what made America tick. And when he was asked what impressed him the most about this country, he answered, "The way parents obey their children." The way parents obey their children. Now, of course, he, as a man from China, came from a country where the elderly are revered, almost worshipped. And he was scandalized by how the young treat the old in this country, specifically how parents are treated by their children. The way parents obey their children, that of course is exactly backwards. In many homes, as you well know, parents are not in charge. I think that is obvious from how the country is going and some of the things that we see in our news, whether it's on television or the internet. Parents aren't in charge. They're just figureheads with a title. It means something on the tax form, and that's about it. But disobedience in the home leads to disobedience in the schools, and disobedience in every aspect of life, in every sphere of society. And societal chaos is usually the result. We're seeing that played out on a daily basis. Children should be taught to honor their parents. And I don't think we can begin too early to begin teaching that truth. And young people, just a note, if ever I see you disobeying your parents here at church, I will side with your parents, even if secretly I think they're wrong. And yet, while all of that is true, this commandment goes a lot deeper and is a lot wider than little kids obeying their parents. So let's look at several aspects of this fascinating law that God gave. Let's look at the place of the fifth commandment. The place of the fifth commandment. The fifth commandment leads the way on the horizontal laws of the Decalogue. Now, you remember we talked about how the Ten Commandments are arranged last week. We looked at the fact that the commandments are both vertical and horizontal. They begin vertically, that is, they are oriented to God, and then they flow in a horizontal way. In other words, they're oriented toward people. And what I think is so interesting about that is last week's commandment and this week's commandment, they're the only two commandments in the whole collection that are positive. The others are stated in a negative way. Thou shalt not. These two are stated in a positive way. And that's important because God doesn't just say, don't do bad things. He also says, do good things. And let me give you some examples. It's a very balanced approach that our God has. He wants to catch his children acting well. He's not like the proverbial cranky teacher who's always got the red pen out, eager to find mistakes that you make. Or if you've ever seen Anne of Green Gables, you remember that cranky teacher by the name of Catherine? You know, her hair was pulled back so tight, it just like, well, I'll stop there. But you know, she was very persnickety. And she runs into Anne, who's so positive and pleasant and perky. And oh, what an interesting relationship they had. But it is true that the fifth commandment is the first of the six horizontal laws. And we can picture it like this. The first three are very clearly vertical. No other gods before the Lord. Make no idols or bow down to them. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. And then beginning with the fifth commandment, we get the horizontal. Honor your parents. And thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, all the rest of them. And we said the fourth one, the Sabbath, is a hinge law because it goes in all different directions. It's vertical because it's a Sabbath to the Lord. It's horizontal because you extend Sabbath to everybody in your home, including your animals and the foreigners. And then it's also personal. It's directed toward yourself because you keep Sabbath. You rest and recharge, okay? So the commandments, if I had to visualize it, this is how I would display them, with the fourth being the hinge. Now, number five begins this horizontal section. Commandment number five leads the way on the horizontal axis of our visualization here. And what that means is loving your neighbor begins at home. Loving your neighbor begins at home. Remember the vertical? Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second greatest commandment is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, this visualization actually, I think Jesus may have given us that phraseology precisely because the Ten Commandments are arranged this way. But notice, when we start the horizontal axis in earnest, commandment number five, it has to do with the home. Loving your neighbor begins at home. And that, no surprise here, that is sometimes where it's the hardest. Amen? God bless your nod. Is there another? you see everyone's flaws close up, right? And they see your flaws close up. And, you know, often there's a desire to escape your family, to avoid disappointments of seeing your family's flaws, or them seeing your flaws. And let's face it, some families are just dangerous. They're toxic. They should be escaped, quite honestly. I'll say more about that in a moment. But in the main, families are the primary training ground for learning to love your neighbor as yourself. It's almost as if God is saying, if you can learn to love the flawed people closest to you, you will be ready to take that love out and give it to a world that desperately needs it. So just by the arrangements here, the placement of this fifth commandment is tremendously significant theologically and practically. But today we note that the fifth commandment leads the way on the horizontal laws of the Decalogue. So let's look then at the target of the fifth commandment. Who's the target of this commandment? Well, this might be surprising for some, but the fifth commandment primarily targets adults in relation to their aging parents. It's not primarily directed toward young children, sort of an incentive to obey mommy and daddy. Now, that's important, and there are plenty of other scriptures that deal with that. And it's actually an application of this commandment. Paul makes that application in Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. But this command, as stated and given to the Israelites at Sinai, is primarily addressed to adults. Really, all the Ten Commandments are. In the fourth commandment, for example, the one we saw last week on Sabbath, it prohibits making your sons or daughters work on the Sabbath. Right? So this is the parents who have the authority. Hey, you get a day off too, kids. Or the seventh and the eighth commandments, which prohibit adultery and coveting another man's wife or servant. Clearly, these are oriented toward the adults. And so the fifth commandment exhorts adult children to honor their aging parents. That's how Philo took it in his writings on the Ten Commandments. Philo was a man who was born about 25 BC. He was a contemporary of Jesus. He was a Jewish philosopher. He wrote a lot, and his writings have survived. And one of the things he wrote a lot about were the laws of God. And when you get to his commentary on these laws, the Ten Commandments, he takes it exactly that way. His writings give us a lot of insights on the customs and the values of Jewish people in the very days of Jesus. And so, like so many other regulations in the collection, this command serves to protect those who are the most disadvantaged in society. And so there's a great humanitarian aspect to this commandment. The societal reality behind the law is that aging parents became less and less useful to their children as they grew older. It's especially the case in an agricultural society where most people were farmers. Some were craftsperson, but almost everybody had a farm. And as you get older and it's harder and harder to work, you become less valuable in terms of the economy. And so you as a child might begin to devalue your parents as well if they can't do what they used to do in the farm or on the home, making the meals and keeping the family going. And as you know, it's the same back then as it is today. Aging parents would gradually need more help in their weaknesses and their illnesses and their loss of physical functions and their abilities, their loss of income. You know, that's the tendency of all of us in a fallen world, to devalue what is of little tangible use to us. And I think history is filled with examples of people who've dishonored their parents precisely because they became less valuable. You know, a growing field in our day is elder law. Have you heard of that? I mean, lawyers in training will study and then begin to practice this entire field of elder law because of the mistreatment of the elderly in our society. And that includes in retirement homes. We've got surveillance cameras, people on tape just harassing older people and mistreating them. This commandment, as stated, declares that this human tendency to devalue is to be reversed by God's people. Adult children are to treat their aging parents honorably. And so that's really the target of the fifth commandment. Again, there are other applications. If you're sitting here as a young person, yeah, you have to obey mommy and daddy. That's another message. We're going to this law in its ancient Near Eastern context, at least today. So let's look at the instruction. What is it telling us? Well, the fifth commandment calls for honor to be given to one's parents. And that's really true whatever age you are or they are. But what does it mean to honor? I mean, that's the key word here, obviously. The Hebrew word, chabed. If you're spelling it, taking notes, K-A-B-E-D, chabed. It's from the root K-B-D, which possesses in it the general idea of being heavy or weighty, something that's solid. I mean, this word is literally a heavy word. It means weighty, heavy. Important is the idea. You put a feather on the scale, it doesn't do anything to the scale, but you put a person made in God's image on the scale, instant value, regardless of how much they weigh. And when this word is used in the Hebrew Bible of honoring an individual, it can have one of at least four meanings, and there are probably others, but I'll just give you a hint of four. You could honor another person by, number one, showing the person respect or treating the person with dignity. That's the idea of this word honor. That's the primary definition. So, for example, when Samuel, the prophet Samuel, publicly announced to Saul that God was going to remove him from the throne, Saul pled with Samuel to honor him in the eyes of the public. In other words, treat him respectfully, even though he's on his way out, even though he's unworthy. Remember, as he's being escorted back to the capital, he's worried nobody's going to honor him anymore. And so you could honor, in that sense, you could honor your aging parents by treating them with respect and dignity. That's the idea here. As you would treat any important person, like a king in this case, even one that's on his way out. But that's how chebed is very often used in the Hebrew Bible. A second use, you could honor someone by verbally expressing your respect or esteem for that person. This is a verbal thing as well, not just how you treat them, but what you say to them and about them. God himself complains in Isaiah 29, verse 13, they honor, they chebed me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. That's kind of interesting. In other words, the idea is you could honor someone or dishonor them with your words. And so to honor your parents in this sense, a son or daughter would speak well of their parents in front of others in a manner that reflects their parents' importance and value to the son or the daughter. A third nuance of this word means to elevate the person to a position of respect or esteem in the eyes of others. Elevate a person to a position of respect or esteem in the eyes of others. The writer of Proverbs said this. This is Proverbs 4 and verse 8. Esteem wisdom, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will chebed you. Now, that's an interesting use of the word chebed as well, to honor them. The sense here is that honoring a parent might involve granting the parent a position of additional authority within the family, or letting a parent make a decision. Maybe you come to loggerheads with your parent, you say, okay, for this season right now, you are the parental authority figure, and so I yield to you. That's within the range of meanings of this particular word as well. And then one more, by providing financial support for the person. Chebed, the sense of honor, means to provide financial support. Aging parents in most societies are in some ways dependent upon their children to take care of them and support them financially as they grow older and more dependent. It's sad reality, but that's life on a fallen planet. We've all been there, haven't we? We've seen people whose bodies are just giving out, their minds are just giving out, and maybe their spirits are just giving out. They don't want to go on. You can support financially a parent who's growing more and more dependent on others just for their survival. That too is honor. Caring for them and meeting their basic needs is the idea. One Old Testament scholar put it like this: honoring parents means making provision for their care in old age, ensuring that they had adequate material resources when they were no longer capable of maintaining themselves by daily work. Now, that's just how the ancient world was supposed to function in Israel. Now, I want to quote something that I found really interesting. It's not from a book in the Bible, but it was one of those books that was debated, Ecclesiasticus, written by Ben Sirach, who is known for his wisdom. Some theological traditions have this book in their Bibles. We do not, but there's a lot of good stuff in it. And I was struck by something that he wrote along these very same lines. Ben Sirach wrote this: "Do not glorify yourself by dishonoring your father. It is a disgrace for children to not respect their mother. My child, help your father in his old age, and do not grieve him as long as he lives. For even if his mind fails, be patient with him." Oh, okay. Some of us are living this right now. "For kindness to a father will not be forgotten. Whoever forsakes a father is like a blasphemer. And whoever grieves a mother is cursed by the Lord." In other words, as Israelites were to treat their aging parents as weighty, as they were supposed to treat their parents as being valuable and important, even though their economic potential and physical potential was decreasing, and their mental capacities are deteriorating. And this respect was to be shown to the mothers as well as to the fathers. In fact, that is the surprise of the fifth commandment. There's a great shock here. We don't think of it, but I assure you that if you were standing at the base of Mount Sinai and you heard this fifth commandment, you would have been shocked by that little phrase, "and your mother." The fifth commandment calls for honor to be given to one's mother as well as one's father. That is noteworthy, surprising. In that culture, where women were routinely seen as second class and less valuable than men, God inserted, every ancient law code had honor your father. Yes, but this one has honor your father and your mother. These are the values of Yahweh, the giver of the law. Isn't that interesting? In a patriarchal world where fathers naturally received honor from their children, this law remarkably calls for the equal honoring of both fathers and mothers. In fact, in Leviticus 19, verse 3, the writer even puts the word mother before the word father. That's unheard of in the ancient Near East. And that's one of the surprises of the fifth commandment. Old Testament scholar John Dunham put it like this. The equal status of the mother in this and other versions of the fifth commandment, remember there's another version of it in Deuteronomy 5, Moses restates the Ten Commandments before the children of Israel go into the Promised Land. The equal status of the mother in this and other versions of the fifth commandment is significant. He says, the Old Testament world was predominantly a male world, yet here, as at other points in the Old Testament, the woman is given appropriate recognition. Nearly always, it is the woman in her all-important role as mother who is accorded such recognition, but even so, such an emphasis is exceptional in the ancient Near East, he says. Surprise. God is pro-woman. He's for them, not against them. So the fifth commandment calls for honor to be given to one's mother as well as one's father. Now, there's a promise attached to the fifth commandment as well. You might have noticed. You will live long. Actually, don't stop there. It's you will live long in the land that I'm giving you. I used to think that if you keep this commandment really well, then you're going to live a long life. And so if you ever read in the newspaper the obituary of someone who died at 102, 103, well, they must have really honored their parents. That's probably not what's going on here in the fifth commandment. Notice it says, that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And so, in all likelihood, that's not a promise of long life for people who honor their parents. It's a promise to the nation as a whole. God is saying, if I see my people honoring their parents, both father and mother, I'm going to let you stay in the promised land. You'll be there a long time. But if you flagrantly violate this command, I will not allow you to live in the promised land. How come? Well, first of all, if you don't keep this commandment, it's a horrible witness. Do you remember, we've already seen in this series, especially Deuteronomy chapter 4, talks about how when the other nations watch you living out these laws, putting them into effect and carrying them out, they're going to look at you and say, wow, who's your God? I want to know more. It's like this great witness. That's why God put them in the middle of the world. Right? Israel was between three land masses. Such that wherever you were in the ancient world, if you wanted to go from anywhere to anywhere, you had to go through Israel. God did that on purpose. It was the geographical equivalent of let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And as they pass through, they see you living this way and say, wow, Israel's a great place to grow old. Look at how they care for the elderly. But more than that, this lofty promise is an indication of how important this law was to the lawgiver. Aging people matter to him. I'll say more about that in a moment. But to honor the elderly is to honor the God who made those folks who he allowed to live long enough to become elderly. Do you follow that line of reasoning? His lifespan is in the lifespan of the elderly is in God's hands. So he has something to do with the fact that they're getting older and they're still here. Annoying though they may be to you. The fifth commandment is the first one to come with a promise. Paul makes that point in the New Testament. Law and promise aren't antithetical. Who said they were? Number six, the God of the fifth commandment. What do we learn about God from this commandment? Remember, that's always the payoff, right? That's always the payoff. Every law tells us something about the one who gave it. That's true of you as parents. If you have children and you give them laws, regulations, rules of the household, that tells us something about you, what you want to see accomplished in their life, what your vision is for their life. It reflects on you. Every law you give your children is a reflection of your heart toward them. Same with God's commands. So the payoff here, what do we learn about God and his ways from this law? Well, the fifth commandment is a treasure trove, I think, of insights about God and his ways. And they can profoundly affect our behavior today. So, for example, first of all, God loves those who are aging. And some of you just went under your breath, good, good. He cherishes those who are becoming less and less, quote, valuable to society. In God's eyes, the disadvantages and deterioration accompanying old age do not detract from an elderly person's intrinsic worth. God loves and cherishes people who are no longer at the prime of life. And I can hear some of you just saying, good, good. I'm starting to say it myself. More and more. God loves those who are no longer at the prime of their life, whether we're talking about physical or mental, every capacity. Secondly, God cares about the plight of aging parents. Otherwise, he wouldn't have given this commandment, right? He cares about how they're going to fare in their old age. He's their champion and defender. That's why he gives this law. It suggests that God considers aging parents worthy of honor, mothers as well as fathers. Again, what a surprise. Third, I think we learn that God wants his people to share the same values concerning the elderly that he does. Specifically, he wants his people to treat their own aging parents with respect as they would want to be treated if the roles were reversed. I mean, this is the golden rule in operation here, isn't it? Do unto others as you would have them do to you. It's God's way of saying, hey, don't forget, you're going to be old someday too. Number four, God has set up human society so that the children of aging parents are the ones who are ultimately responsible for the well-being of their parents, to see that their parents are properly cared for and respected. Now, that obviously may involve recruiting others to come help, because sometimes a situation can get where you need specialized care, but it's the children who make those arrangements. God says, I want that to fall on my people. And so the fifth commandment, I think, is a treasure trove of insights about God and his ways. So getting these insights about God and his ways, if this is what God is like, then I just turn it on myself and say, okay, what does it mean? If this is what God is like and I want to be godly, then what does that mean for my life? This is how we can treat all of the laws in the Old Testament. Well, we can put it like this, in simple fashion. God's people are to honor and cherish their family. God's people are to honor and cherish their family, mother and father, not just father. And of course, it goes both ways. There's lots of instruction in the Bible about how parents are to treat their children. Fathers, do not exasperate them, and all the rest of it. But God's people are to honor and cherish their family. That's what God is saying here in this commandment. That's really the fountainhead of all the applications. So let's look at this. The fifth commandment has abiding value and relevance, especially in our day. In a day that idolizes youth. Have you noticed? And certain forms of beauty, but you show me an elderly woman or an elderly man who's walked with the Lord, loves Jesus with all his heart, I don't care how many wrinkles are on the face, that's beauty. There's abiding value and relevance to this commandment even in our day. So, for example, we might begin by determining to show parents more respect by treating them as important. You matter. Support them financially where possible, or support them in other ways as needed, with prayer, with encouragement. Dave Dorsey, my Old Testament professor, used to tell the story about a lady who had just recently retired from teaching and decided to devote the first whole year of her retirement to being with her mom, knowing that she was getting up there in years. And he said for a whole year, this woman did things with her mother. And they traveled around the world. They went together, did lots of things, and they came to know each other better than ever. And what a delight that was. The mother felt honored. The daughter was just so pleased to get to know the mother right before she passed away. It was a sacrifice, but it was also a tremendous blessing. This woman sought to honor her mother in that way. Because the clock is ticking on all of us, mothers and fathers alike. Second, I think this can get very practical and mundane, honoring your parents with things like visiting them, taking trips with them, calling them on a regular basis, inviting them to your house for the weekend if that's a possibility, asking them how they're doing in their lives. They really do want to hear from their children, doing odd jobs for them. Unless you're a mechanical idiot like me, then you call somebody else to go do it. Gene Bug, Mike Oswald, I need help. Treating them to dinner out, you know, in some cases you might even have them move in with you, as difficult as that can be. Now that's not the case in every case, but these are some practical ways to show honor. It's underneath this word chebed. And of course, we should treat our parents the way we would want to be treated someday by our own children. You know, payback is coming. And everyone's circumstances are different, so it is very dangerous to make generalities. You know, I've heard preachers get all worked up with a lather over this commandment. You should never put your parent in a retirement home. No. There are times where that's the loving thing to do. That's the right thing to do. Ask the giver of this commandment how you can show honor to your parents. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. He's the author of the commandment, right? Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you in making wise decisions. Well, what about the case if your parent was a knucklehead? That's a polite word for wingnut. And by that I mean wicked, okay? Just maybe an abuser of some sort. That happens too. And God knows that. Maybe they were an alcoholic or emotionally absent. You know, they were there but not there, not plugged in. You know, your picture never got hung up on the refrigerator. And maybe just mom or dad were harsh with you, very critical. You know, we're this fallen world and parents are broken. We don't always do the parent thing right. And maybe you were on the receiving end of some mistreatment by your parent, one of them or both of them. How do you honor them? How do you honor them? Well, honor may take the form of biblically confronting them. This is what you've done to me, and this is what it's done in me. And maybe with the help of a friend or a therapist or a counselor, do a biblical confrontation. By biblical, I mean there's a whole process of looking inward first, getting the log out of your own eye and all that. But sometimes a confrontation is a way to honor your parents. Make sure they're being held responsible for what they've done. Sometimes you have to honor your broken parents from a safe distance through just letters and cards. And you can't take the family over and you can't have your kids, you know, if they're abusing substances and if they're reckless and out of control and all the rest of it. You honor them by just, you know, somehow from a distance, letters, maybe a phone call, but you stay in a safe place. Maybe sometimes all you can do is pray for your parent. Here again, the God who gave the fifth commandment can guide us on how to implement it in our lives today. I had a parishioner one time whose dad really left him with a whole lot of brokenness. I mean, severe pain to the point where he was medicated for the rest of his life. His schizophrenia, which he probably had, was intensified, and he just couldn't get free from the negative feelings he had toward his dad. And I worked with him over the years, and finally we decided that it's time to write a letter to dad. And his dad was long deceased, so maybe write a letter to dad. Tell him everything you want to say. If you can ask for the grace of God to forgive him, do that too. But I'll leave that to you. You write the letter. This is your story, not mine. And then go to the grave and read it to him. And he did. And I can't tell you how liberating that was for him. a joy was restored to his countenance. He's serving the Lord even today, and it's just a beautiful thing to see. So even where the parents aren't living anymore, the fifth commandment is about elderly, you know, those who are aging. And so the church has many mothers, right, in it, grandmothers, maybe in some cases great-grandmothers. I see a lot of gray hair, or hair that would otherwise be gray, if it weren't for the bottle, you know. That's great, that's wonderful, that's beautiful, that's healthy. You can actually keep the spirit of this law by honoring somebody else in the congregation who's older than you are. Different generation, different mindset. They don't even know how to turn a computer on, and you do all your tech on a phone. Okay, that's all right. Find a way to honor them. Help them learn how to use the thing. If they want to. Most don't. But if we've lost our own parents, and even if we haven't, we might consider responding to the theological insights from this commandment by showing respect and love to other elderly people. That's the idea here. Finally, if you're an aging parent, so I want you to know that God loves you. He treasures you. You're valuable to him. You matter to him. It doesn't matter that your economic quotient has decreased. You're valuable to him, and he loves you. That's also wrapped up in this commandment. So you might need to reorient your thinking. I am worth something to God. Even though my mind is fading, my body's failing, I still matter to God. It was an old man in the temple, Simeon, who grabbed the Christ child shortly after his birth and prophesied over him. It was Anna, an old lady in the temple, who just was looking for the consolation of Israel every day, and they're part of the Advent story. You can be part of God's story even when you get older. Thank you, Jesus, right? That went over well. I did my time, Pastor. Oh, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. There's no retirement in kingdom work. If all you can do is pray for others doing the ministries, you got work to do. Ah, I lost my job on that last point anyway, so I'm just going to go for it. Last thing to observe, the fulfillment of the fifth commandment. The fifth commandment was perfectly kept by Jesus, the only perfect law keeper ever. Do you remember when he was on the cross dying? John, behold your mother. Woman, behold your son. Isn't it interesting how even from a cross, Jesus was taking care of his aging mother? He couldn't anymore. It would have been his responsibility as the oldest son. He can't do it anymore. But he arranges for the care of his mother. John will become the substitute son as Jesus becomes the substitute sacrifice for John. Jesus, the perfect lawkeeper, who even from his cross kept the fifth commandment. Do you know Jesus as your sin-bearing substitute? Have you ever received him by faith as your Lord and Savior? Walk closely with Jesus. Keep short accounts with him and with others. Keep in step with the fifth commandment. God's people are to honor and cherish their family. Look around. Your family's in this room.